Hello and welcome to the first edition of Xiaoqiao. If you didn't know, that means little bridge in Mandarin. I'm Valerie.
And I'm Sheila. We'll be your little bridge connecting you to China, its beautiful people, and even more amazing places.
Well, what better way to start our very first show than with the province smack center of China, Shaanxi?
Don't get it wrong, Val. Although Shaanxi is in the center of China, it is considered part of Western China. As stated in Wikipedia, 13 dynasties established their capitals in this province during a span of more than 1,100 years from the Zhou dynasty to the Tang dynasty.
No kidding! Did you know that Xi'an, the capital of Shaanxi, was also considered the most metropolitan city of the world and could be compared to the now London of Europe?
How can that be? You did say Shaanxi is in the center of China. How could it develop so fast, especially in those times before the colored TV and rock and roll?
Ever heard of the Silk Road? No? How about Marco Polo? Mr. Polo took the Silk Road, and that's how he found China.
Talk about following the Yellow Brick Road by Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Because he's the Wizard of Oz.
Apparently, this ship would take you months if you tried walking it.
Yes, but thanks technology for the wonders of transportation. Anyway, Mr. Polo wasn't the only one who took the Silk Road. Arabs, Persians, Europeans, you name it, they probably visited Shaanxi or even lived there. Till today, there is a huge Muslim population in Shaanxi.
That explains why if you go to Xi'an, Shaanxi's capital city, you would see an ancient stone mosque that looks like a Chinese temple. I'm telling you, Belle, it looks like a Chinese temple with the pagodas and the whole nine yards.
I believe you, Sheila. It's also one of the oldest mosques in the world.
Another artifact you'll have to see will be the stele of an Nestorian church that was established in the 8th century, about 781.
Sheila, did you catch that episode on The Amazing Race where the team visited China? I think they travelled through Shaanxi.
Oh, I did. The one with the clay soldiers in the museum. What were they called again?
Terracotta soldiers! That's right. The tens of thousands of figures were buried in the first emperor of Qin in 210 to 209 BC. They're also sometimes called Qin's army.
It is believed to have taken 700,000 workers and craftsmen 36 years to complete. It's the most famous finding from the Qin dynasty.
Dynasties. Honestly, Sheila, I have no clue what dynasties are.
Well, Wikipedia says dynasties are successions of rulers from the same family for generations. There were numerous Chinese dynasties, and the well-known ones today include the Tang, Qin, and Qing dynasty.
For a land so rich in history, Xi'an is not a rundown or backward town that most expect it to be. It's got a good standard of living and plays host to several established universities and a number of research and development centres.
Well, that's because for a period of time in the 1950s, about the Korean War time, China feared that Western forces may attack Beijing, so they moved many universities, industries and science facilities further west mainland.
The only way the West can attack China will be from the Pacific Ocean. Or if they like, they can take the Silk Road.
In fact, Xi'an has preserved their history so well that even though they've expanded the city, they've kept much of the original city's massive walls.
The walls? I hear they're about 4 stories high and about 15 meters thick. Wide enough for two-way traffic to travel on top. I'm thinking what a traffic jam would be like up there.
Well, how they built the wall back in those days is completely beyond me.
Well, let's not get caught up in buildings and leave out Shaanxi's natural wonders. If my geography serves me right, there's a mountain range called the Tin Lin Mountain Range that divides Shaanxi's climate. The north is drier and the south has a subtropical climate.
Not bad, Belle. Secondary school teachers should get a pat on the back.
Curtsies. Some of the produce you can get from the region include Chinese herbs, tea, silkworm cocoons, wheat, rice, and even chestnuts and walnuts.
Very good, Belle. But don't leave out the Huasan Mountain Range.
Yes, the Huasan Mountain Range is very popular, as it is so lush and picturesque. Honestly, where would we be without Discovery Channel?
Beats me. Well, now it's my turn to fill you in about the food in Shaanxi. While visiting all the beautiful stone architecture in Shaanxi, you'll definitely have to stop for the famed mutton soup. It looks something like Singapore's Chinese or Indian Muslim dark and somewhat oily mutton soup, but tastes nothing like it at all. The mutton soup comes with a hard loaf of bread that is to be broken into little pieces.
Wait, breaking your bread into little pieces? Sounds tedious, you know?
I guess it does, but that's how they enjoy each other's company, you see. Sansi gives a more relaxed feel, not really for the New Yorkers and Manhattan wannabes. Savoring the mutton soup takes a while, but you'll get there. Once you've broken the bread, they bring out the soup and you just mix it together. It's quite oily, but tastes really good. The locals usually wash it down with their local beer.
Shanxi sounds like the perfect holiday destination. The nature, the rich history, great sights, and even greater food.
Exactly. Today's Shanxi is extremely accessible. You've got options from flying or taking the railway or even driving.
That's right. Many countries now have direct flights into Shanxi's own international airport. But if you can't get a direct flight from where you're at, get your connecting flight into Shanxi from any major Chinese city.
Well, we're off for a short breather now, but don't go away. Val and myself will be right back with more news after this clip, Shanxi's signature opera. Enjoy!
Stage opera from Shanxi, you can't confuse it with the Beijing opera because it sounds nothing alike.
That's right, Val. A little fact is that it started way earlier than Beijing opera. Some people even call it the first Chinese opera.
Traditional entertainment aside, Sheila, what's this new lip-singing phenomenon that's sweeping over Asia?
Oh, that. Remember the other day I showed you the video online of three Chinese guys lip-syncing very dramatically to the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, they were hilarious. My sides were aching from laughing. I don't think I need to do any more crunches after watching them sing. Well, lip sync, as long as you love me.
Apparently, even the Backstreet Boys themselves said they liked what these guys were doing with their songs. They're called the Bedroom Boys or something, right?
Yeah, that's right. Bedroom Boys is a direct translation from their Chinese name, Hosha Boys. They're so big now, they've become a sort of brand in China. And to think, it all started when two jokers from Guangzhou Arts Institute decided to get creative with their webcam in 2005. I think it was after viewing some Americans lip-singing.
America, I see. The web has really brought us all closer. Look at the Bedroom Boys singing secular Western boy band songs and even dressing in their imported sports jackets. Oh well, have you noticed how there's so many lip-syncing contests springing up all over China, Korea, and even Japanese TV?
Yeah, why is that?
I think it's because these boys have popularized lip-syncing to such a degree it's no longer uncool.
Uncool? Too bad Paris Hilton didn't start her singing career later. She just might have caught the lip-singing is cool phase. Anyway, the boys were faced with some copyright issues over the music, but it seems like as long as it's for fun and not for monetary profit, the authorities will be lax. I mean, the Chinese government hasn't opposed them as yet.
The boys signed on with a leading record company in China called Taihe Music Company Limited on February 14th this year. It's a 5-year-long contract, I think. Well, all I know is Taihe Rai will have to sort out some major copyright agreements if they're going to make records.
Don't you wonder, how do they have all the time to do the webcam, if I may say, whoring while they're studying?
I heard they're actually really good students, and they get top grades in school. One of them is even a leader in the students' union, and their lecturers are supportive of their lip-singing career. The contract they signed is also flexible, so they will not have to disrupt their studies or anything like that.
Oh, so they're good time managers as well as webcam whores? Nice.
Well, you know that in all their videos they've got this guy in the background, the one who's oblivious to their dancing and singing?
Yeah, I hear this. The three guys actually are making appearances on TV and commercials.
Mm-hmm. It seems like this lip-syncing business is picking up no matter what critics say, and is out to challenge usual TV dramas like, you know, the regular talent times and such.
Well, all throughout China, be it over the internet and the newspapers, TV, radios, in our homes or on the streets, the Hosha Boys are highly debated about, and everyone's just like, who are they? Why are they?
And the supporters are not just other Chinese youngsters. They come from all over the world, from all walks of life, from professionals to students, even housewives.
You should check out their posters. Adobe, hey, man, they've got standards, man. They've edited their faces onto movie posters, making it look hilarious and really, really funny, and sometimes just downright wrong.
I agree. Like, have you seen that one with their faces on the Matrix poster?
I'm guessing these boys will be around for a while. You can always check them out online at YouTube under Bedroom Boys. This is all the time we have this week. I'm Valerie.
And I'm Sheila, signing off for Little Bridge. Join us again next week when we explore more of China. Walk with us, talk with us on Little Bridge. Bye-bye now.
See ya.